Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snuff. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
It's hour number two of the Eric Ainge Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Brian Rice with Joel Silverberg. Eric Ainge under the weather. We hope he'll be back with us tomorrow. This will be live at Rusty Wallace Kia of Knoxville out on Callahan Drive. Looking forward to seeing Jake and the crew out there. Talk Tennessee hoops in hour number one. Also caught up with Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. That up at sportsradio.wnml.com. 991thesportsanimal.com. The old address gets you there too, but 991thesportsanimal.com.
It'll redirect you. Yeah. But it'll redirect you to 991thesportsanimal.com.
The old address of sportsanimal99.com also gets you there.
I forgot about that one.
Because it redirects you still, too. Need to make sure we renew that one because that's still the one in my browser.
Does anybody miss the little man with no legs?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He was our mascot.
Yeah.
And then he went away.
Yep.
But now we're the sports animal again, so maybe he can come back.
Yeah.
I wonder what he's been doing all those years. Maybe... You know, he may not want to. He may have gone on a bender with Buck Kelso when he's out and done.
We should. We really need to get a costume for that. We have a Wivick the Frog costume. Why we can't we have the little man with no legs costume?
Wivick the Frog isn't a costume. That's an actual giant frog.
That's right. My apologies.
Yeah. Lives in the building. Travels around with Peggy, but we never see them together. It's weird.
Yeah.
All right. The New England Patriots have a free agent quarterback. His name's Tom Brady. You may have heard of him. This morning on Get Up, it was reported by Jeff Darlington that at this point, here's the exact quote, "I'm now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady went back to New England." Jeff Darlington says that. And then you add to that, Karen Gurigan of the Boston Herald reports, the Patriots have not even reached out to Tom Brady to discuss a new contract. They can. Nobody else can until March. March 13th, I believe, is the start of free agency.
They got a couple weeks.
Can you believe, though, that the only team that can discuss a new contract with Tom Brady hasn't yet?
I wonder if Tom has put in some sort of initiative moving forward that maybe he's just not ready to have a contract discussion. I'm starting to wonder if a part of both sides want to move on. Adam Schefter talked about this back in October. He said that he felt that there were three potential options, that Brady goes elsewhere, that the Patriots try to look in a different direction, or that he returns to New England. And Schefter was saying back in October that Tom Brady going back to New England was the least likely scenario for Tom Brady. So this has been discussed in the past, but it's starting to look more and more like Tom Brady may not go back to New England. Now, I feel like, for me, I'm defaulting to that option until I actually see it, because he's been there for two decades.
I wonder, I also wonder this, if Tom Brady has said, "I'm not talking to you or anybody until we know what the collective bargaining agreement is." Because I also think this, we know that Tom Brady has taken less money from the Patriots the last few years, so they would have more money to spend on players around him. And they have not gone and gotten the help that I think he thought in doing that they would be able to go get.
But not for this past season anyway. I mean, they are just one calendar year removed from winning a Super Bowl.
Right. But even in the Super Bowl year, they didn't go get the Randy Moss-level superstar.
Right.
And I, in my mind, when he agreed to take less, that's what he was thinking. They're going to go get some of those other guys.
They've added to the defensive side of the ball,
yeah,
and they've tried to draft towards that offensive side of the ball with an effort to take the pressure off of Tom Brady, but not having a key outside receiver or a big-time tight end like Rob Gronkowski to complement Julian Edelman in the passing game has allowed teams to key in on Edelman. Philip Dorsett has not gotten the job done. N'Keal Harry has been injured through most of his rookie season and just didn't perform at a high enough level when he was on the field. And so that offense kind of crumbled around Brady. But that defense was one of the best in the league easily. Just, you know, you trail by one in a playoff game at home against the Titans. Should probably find a way to win that football game, and New England didn't. So I think that the efforts by New England was, okay, we're going to start building a stronger defense. We're going to try to make things easier for Tom. And in the second half of the season, that just wasn't the case.
But I wonder this, if he is waiting for the new CBA to be either approved or, I mean, we're still at the point where it could be denied. We're talking about whether we have football this fall or whether they wait for a work stoppage next year without a CBA. That it's going to be interesting to watch that. But I wonder if he wants to see the numbers before he knows what he's going to demand from the Patriots. Because if there's going to be some room and it's going to be a couple of years before the rest of the contracts in the NFL catch up to the new CBA, I wonder if he's going to say, you're going to pay me more than anybody's ever paid a quarterback for the next 2 years, and then that's going to be it.
And that sounds like a Tom Brady thing to do, not necessarily demanding the max, but waiting out the CBA discussions and keeping all that close to the vest.
Because the Patriots will have the room to do it because they have some guys under contract. But does Tom Brady finally, in his last contract, want to set the market? Because he hasn't done that. He's let other guys do it. And for all that we talk about, Tom Brady's self-centered and focused and wants to be the center of attention and all that, the way he has done his contract negotiations does not...
It would actually suggest the exact opposite.
Exactly.
It suggests that all he cares about is winning.
Exactly.
And he has said it before. He's been asked, what was it? Was it Jimmy Kimmel who he was talking to about, you know, how he's not even close to being the highest paid quarterback and he should be the highest paid quarterback in history. And he said, well, I like winning and my wife makes a lot of money.
Yeah. And he's right.
But it's not like Brady's hurting for food right now. I mean, he's the guy's covered financially. And I get that there's a status that a lot of players like to achieve, but I think Brady's status, I mean, think about it. The money isn't what we remember Brady for. It's the rings. Brady is widely regarded as one of, if not the best quarterback in the history of the sport. And his decision to take less money to get a better team around him is a big reason for that.
He could be Michael Jordan. You say, what about Michael Jordan? You know what Michael Jordan made in the 95-96 season for the Chicago Bulls? $3.85 million.
That is chump change.
Took less.
In today's game.
He made less in 95-96 than he made in 91-92. But he wanted that so they could build and they could continue to build. And then once he got into, I believe it was the Larry Bird extension at that point, the rule where they could pay him more than anybody else could, he said, okay, I'm at the point of my career where I want to set the market for once. He went from $3.8 million in 95-96 to $30.1 million in 96-97 and $33.1 million in 97-98.
Which that was a monster contract for that era.
Absolutely.
That's a big contract now.
And he didn't need it. But he said, finally, I'm Michael Jordan. The rules allow you to pay me like the best player in basketball. I want, just for these 2 years, to set the market for basketball for the future. And he did. And so I wonder if Tom Brady looks at that same situation and says, I'm going to do that. When Jordan came back 2 years later, he made $1 million each of his 2 years with the Wizards. $1 million. 01-02 and 02-03.
Goodness.
So, adjusted for inflation, Michael Jordan's salary his last year in Chicago would be $52.9 million in today's game.
Insanity. Pure insanity. When Kevin Durant went to Golden State a few years ago, he was given a $25 a year contract.
Yeah. Less in today's dollars than Jordan made in 1997 dollars. It's incredible. So, knowing the history with Jordan, team guy, I'll take less. I'm making all this money in endorsements. Tom Brady's making all this money in endorsements. He has the rich hot wife who makes more than he does and will always make more than he does. I wonder if he doesn't just want to say for 1 or 2 years, I want to be the guy at the top of the list.
And I think that's a possibility.
Because another team's going to give him that.
Yes. And I do think that there is a possibility, though, that both sides might be ready to finally move on.
I think based on the comments we've heard today, I think there's a good chance of that.
And it's not just the comments today. Like I mentioned with Adam Schefter, I think it's comments that we've been hearing for a while now that there's a real possibility that this could be the end of Tom Brady in New England.
Do you think a part of that is how they've spent the money the last few years? That he's given them the hometown discount and it hasn't worked out. And so now he says either the trust is broken or I'm not going to take the hometown discount anymore, and that rubs Bill Belichick the wrong way.
I think that's possible. I think it's either of those scenarios. And for Brady, a guy that is so focused on winning, I think this year there was probably brought up a lot of frustration with the lack of weapons that Brady had. The fact that I think New England probably had some fashion of an idea that Gronkowski might step down, and they had an offseason to prepare for it. They didn't get a good tight end in there to replace him. The draft selection with N'Keal Harry just didn't make the immediate impact that you were looking for. And I liked Harry a lot coming out of Arizona State, but you go down later in the second round, nearly an entire another round later, and you got more production in Seattle with DK Metcalf and in Nashville with AJ Brown for the Titans than what you had with Harry in New England. And that could change. It's just 1 year.
Yeah.
But you could have made a better decision. You could have gone out and tried to get some sort of free agent to really help in New England. Because look at who Tom Brady has had. I mean, he had Randy Moss for a couple of seasons, but they naturally never won a Super Bowl together. So you look at the best wide receivers. You're talking about what? Troy Brown and Wes Welker and Julian Edelman as the guys?
Yeah. And that's what makes what Tom Brady's done even more remarkable is the guys that he's done it with. Now, when you gave him Randy Moss, they had great stats and they had a great season. They didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And they should have. I mean, they went 18-1.
Yeah.
It's not like it was a bad football team. No. Came up short in the last game.
So that's how hard it is to win. Again, that's what makes Tom Brady so remarkable is with how hard it is to win, even when you're clearly the best team. That's what makes his run all the more impressive.
And so there have been times where he hasn't had the greatest personnel and he's not always putting up the most eye-popping numbers, but I think all he had this year really was Julian Edelman.
Darlington's additional report this morning later on Get Up said, quote, Tom Brady is looking forward to free agency. I still can't believe that the Patriots haven't contacted him, and that's the report.
Yeah, that surprises me, unless Brady said something on the way out saying, I'm not talking to you until
not talking to you whatever. Until I can talk to everybody. It's interesting. All right, welcome back. 656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. More from the NFL coming up. Play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia coming up at 11 as well. It's FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. It's the Eric Haines Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Ride Rise with Joel Silverberg. Talking a little NFL this morning, Mike McCarthy, new Cowboys head coach, that seems odd to say still, says Dak Prescott is his guy and he's the guy for the Cowboys and expects them to get a deal done because that's how much Dak means to the franchise. McCarthy, who certainly knows what a Super Bowl winning quarterback looks like, having worked with Aaron Rodgers for so long, says that Dak's the guy and has the tools.
You're a Cowboys fan. How do you feel about that?
You know, from his first preseason game, he has looked like a guy that can make all the NFL throws. His decision-making is good most of the time. I think he still holds on to the ball too long in a lot of situations. they got him some weapons this year, and when those weapons were healthy, he was very good. I think he needs a strong tight end. I don't know if Jason Witten's going to come back or not.
Witten doesn't either.
Yeah, exactly. I hope Jason Witten plays for the Cowboys and not somebody else. If he's going to play, I want it to be in Dallas. I don't want him to go have an unremarkable season in Denver or somewhere like that. No offense, John Wilkerson. I threw out the first random team I could think of. But I think he is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. He's not Patrick Mahomes. But I think he's as good as most quarterbacks in the NFL. He's not Mahomes. I'm not taking him over Mahomes. I'm not taking him over, one season, would I take him over Brady? I don't think so. Long term, yeah, if I have to sign one of them to...
If you had to sign one to a six-year deal, taking Prescott.
Dak every day. I mean, that changes the discussion on Tom Brady 100%.
You wouldn't take him over Brady. You wouldn't take him over Breeze. You wouldn't take him over Rodgers. You wouldn't take him over Lamar Jackson.
Not for 1 year. You know, some of those guys were having a discussion we're talking 3 years.
The guys that are nearing retirement, Obviously, when you're talking long term, yes, that's different. But if we're talking the right now, who are the best quarterbacks in the league?
I think he and Rodgers 1 year is a lot closer than you probably do, in my opinion.
You also hate the Packers.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is great. Is Aaron Rodgers, if you put Aaron Rodgers on the Cowboys last year, I don't think they're significantly better than they were.
Because I don't think Dak they're not going 8-8.
Yeah. They may be 9-7.
I think
Rodgers would have been good enough to be in the playoffs.
Well, I think they're easily 10-6 at least. I think Rodgers is the type of quarterback, and he has shown it before that on certain stages and at times the Packers have had poor teams around him, but he has been capable of elevating his team to another level. We haven't seen that fully from Dak yet. And part of that's because Dak has always had Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield. So I think that there is that skill that a lot of quarterbacks, not a lot, but elite quarterbacks in the NFL have, where they can just take their team to a higher level. We saw Patrick Mahomes do that this year. We've seen Aaron Rodgers do that in the past. We have yet to really see Dak Prescott do that for the entire course of a season.
And maybe he's just saying it because he's taken over and they're in the contract dispute and all that. But Mike McCarthy thinks he is that guy. He thinks that he is in the Aaron Rodgers realm of guys that can take you to the next level. Here's what he said. Quote, defenses get you to the championship. Quarterbacks win championships. I definitely feel Dak is that quarterback.
I think the potential is there. Dak is also playing a lot more than Aaron Rodgers did his first 4 years in the league. Aaron Rodgers had to sit for a while. So I also don't think it's necessarily to say that Dak can't be Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he is right now. I think he has shown enough potential that he could be. I would also say that I think he has shown more than Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And Flacco has a Super Bowl ring.
And in the NFL, in a time in the NFL where I don't think you've ever seen more franchises not committed to their quarterbacks as right now in offseason 2020, the Cowboys are standing behind him, even in the midst of a contract dispute, saying he's our guy. And how many times when you have quarterbacks in contract situations do teams go, well, we'll be fine one way or the other. Not here. They're saying he's the guy.
It really worked for the Vikings a couple years ago, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they had to pick between three guys. They picked none of them, and they've been okay since. They've Kirk Cousins their way to having Kirk Cousins-type seasons.
Yep, got a playoff win. Good for them.
Yeah. So they think he's the guy. Mike McCarthy, having worked with Aaron Rodgers, thinks he's the guy. It does not sound like wishful thinking, and the Cowboys are getting ready to spend a lot of money. So if you think he's the guy, does it change how much you're willing to spend on it? I think that's the biggest question for Dallas right now.
Because, I think it gives Dak that leverage.
Yeah. And that's another reason I'm kind of surprised everybody said that, because normally in this situation it would be very much, well, you know, him and haw over it. They're not doing that.
And Dak has already made it clear he's not giving Dallas the hometown discount.
Nope. Also, he could take the franchise tag for next year, which signed me up for the franchise tag. Dallas says they don't want to do that. They want to sign him to a long-term deal. Franchise tag would probably pay him more next year than a long-term deal would.
Yeah, but a lot of players, they want that long-term deal. They want years, and they want guaranteed money.
No, I want all that too, but give me the guaranteed money. I'd also take being the second high, the average of the, what is it, the top five highest paid players at your position for 1 year. It's over $32 million for a quarterback next year. It's not Michael Jordan last season in Chicago money, but I'd take it. But I was, again, the reason I brought it up is I'm fascinated that McCarthy, A, thinks he's the guy, and B, a team that's trying to negotiate with a quarterback over money is spending time telling everybody in the media how good he is and how valuable he is. Because I think they're kind of setting their market. Something to follow.
I think it gives the fans a lot of excitement knowing that there's not going to be some sort of major shakeup with big-time personnel within that organization. For the new coach to come in and say, Dax, we want Dak to be the guy, then you know, you might end up spending a lot of money, but I think there's potential there for Dak and McCarthy to really get on the right foot, get off on the right foot with Mike McCarthy trying to come in and give that vote of confidence to his quarterback.
All right, when we come back, I want to get to one other thing on Tom Brady that we didn't talk about. Think about, ponder this question through the break, and if you want to join us as well at 656-9900. Who stands to gain the most if Tom Brady doesn't go to New England next year? Is it a team that he goes to? Is it somebody else in the AFC East? Is it somebody else in the AFC? That's next. 656-9900, 866-656-9900. It's FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. We'll stay by your phone as well, even if you don't want to weigh in on this topic, because Coors Light Climate, the championship, is coming before the end of this hour. But right now, back to Tom Brady for a moment, because there was a note that I did not get to when we were talking about Tom Brady and the new reports this morning. If Tom Brady does not come back to New England, other than the team that he goes to, who benefits the most from Tom Brady not being a member of the New England Patriots?
I jokingly said the Buffalo Bills as soon as we went to break, and you informed me that that was actually the correct answer.
I think it is. Now, I think there are some other teams that benefit, and we'll talk about them in a second, but the Bills are the only team in the AFC East
that aren't a total dumpster fire outside of New England.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how Sam Darnold is long-term in New York, but regardless, the Jets are not taking a step forward to being a playoff team this year, even with a Tom Brady-less, because let's be real, a Tom Brady-less Patriots team is still probably 9-7 at worst.
Well, it's still a really good defense.
Yeah.
And if they can figure something out at the quarterback position, they'd have to get more weapons, but it is a team that is built to compete. And Bill Belichick is a good enough coach that he's just not going to let his team fold because Tom Brady left. I mean, they won games with Jacoby Brissett, Matt Castle, and Jimmy Garoppolo in the time that Brady has missed during his tenure in New England.
Yeah. So I think the Bills, certainly, because they're a team that is already a winner and will only get better.
Yeah, two playoff appearances in the last 3 years. I think Miami benefits a little bit. Brian Flores actually did a really good job with that Dolphins team in year one.
And they were tanking despite Brian Flores' best efforts.
They need to figure out something at the quarterback spot, because I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick is the long-term solution, but they figure something out there, potential to get Tua in this draft. So see what happens there. But yeah, the AFC East obviously benefits from it. I just don't know how much, because are those teams necessarily going to get better? Their playoff chances get better, but I've never listened to the argument that New England's success has made it difficult for the other three teams in that division. You only play that team twice. It adds two tougher games to your schedule every year, And that's the case for any division that has to play in the same division as an elite football team. Yeah. Now, what the Patriots have done over the last two decades has been insane with the number of division titles they've won. But those, there has not been a year where you've looked at it and said, oh, well, if it wasn't for the Patriots, the Bills, the Jets, or the Dolphins might realistically have had a shot. I realize that the Jets made a couple of AFC championship games in back-to-back years. They did not look like this elite team that was capable of actually winning a Super Bowl with Mark Sanchez.
No. The other teams that I think benefit the most are the Chiefs and the Ravens.
Yes.
Because they will not have the New England mystique on the other side of the playoff bracket. It's one of those teams is going to have to face them in the divisional round every year. One of the two. When you get down to a Final Four. Unless they're facing each other, and I don't think there's a great chance of that.
Pittsburgh's going to be a different animal to really talk about because they were on the verge of making the playoffs with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback, and it's still up in the air of what exactly is going to happen with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Is he back? How back will he be if he is? So I think the Steelers are another answer there. But I think the Ravens are still, with Lamar Jackson, assuming he doesn't have some sort of big drop-off, they're still the team to beat in that division for years to come.
I would still lean that the biggest beneficiary is the team that gets Tom Brady. Because I think that there's a really good chance. He's not going to go to a team that isn't set up to win. There was a CBS Sports article that came out earlier this week discussing that it's unlikely that Tom Brady would go to Miami because Brian Flores was asked about it at the NFL Combine.
Yeah.
It was never in the conversation that Brady would consider going to the Dolphins. That was never realistically on the table, and I'm not sure why somebody would bother to ask Flores about it because the Dolphins, I think Flores could do some good things there. The jury's still out, but Brady's not going there because there realistically isn't the possibility that they could win anytime soon. The discussion about the Raiders almost being a playoff team, the Titans going to the AFC Championship, the Chargers because Anthony, you know, they're a year removed from going to the postseason. That's the chatter that we've heard about the most. So I think whatever team gets him is going to improve significantly.
Yeah. And I think it is a short list, and probably those AFC teams that you mentioned, because he wants to win a Super Bowl. And the list of teams, and we talked about it all year on the NFL report, the list of teams that are a good quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl is very short, if not virtually non-existent. That's why Eli Manning retired, because there's maybe two or three teams. Phillip Rivers was leaving one of them. Presumably he'll land at one of the others. We'll see. But Tom Brady being out there, and Tom Brady actually being out there, what if Phillip Rivers went to the Patriots for 2 years?
He still wouldn't win a Super Bowl.
That's probably right. Welcome back. 656-9900. It's the Eric Haines Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. The Eric Haines Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Talked a lot of NFL this hour. Talked a lot of Tennessee hoops back in hour number one as the Lady Vols will face Ole Miss tonight at Thompson Bowling Arena. Full preview of that coming up in the third hour of the show. The men last night at Arkansas. Not a great night for Tennessee hoops, but the Vols will try to bounce back on Saturday against Florida, and then it's Kentucky, and then it's Auburn. So it's going to be a tough end of the year for Tennessee, but some opportunity to make some noise and do something in those last couple of games. And I think the Auburn game for Jordan Bowden's senior day, Lamonte Turner's senior day, though he's not playing, hopefully that gives a big emotional lift for Tennessee coming up in a couple of weeks. But this note coming out from Tennessee Softball. I know we have a lot of listeners up in the Tri-Cities as well that listen to us on the app. Tennessee will head to the Tri-Cities this weekend, but it's going to be a day later than they anticipated. The Friday, Saturday, Sunday tournament is now Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So Tennessee will play now instead of tomorrow at 10 a.m. and noon. Lady Vols will play Saturday at 3 and 5 at ETSU Stadium. Bowling Green at 3, Tennessee Tech at 5. Sunday's schedule will be ETSU at 2:30 and Bowling Green at 4:30, and then they will play Tennessee Tech on Monday at noon. There is weather potentially in the area on Monday, but Tennessee's schedule this weekend has changed. Cold temperatures and rain forecast for tomorrow. ETSU's field doesn't drain super well. Most don't. So they will avoid the cold and rain tomorrow and play in just the cold on Saturday, and it's supposed to be a nice day Sunday, so looking forward to that. Yeah. And getting up there in front of the Johnson City fans. I know there's always a huge turnout when Tennessee plays up there in softball. We've been up there a couple of times since I've been doing the games, and looking forward to seeing everybody up there.
You get big turnouts in a lot of the mid-state locations that you go. Mid-Tennessee, farther east Tennessee. It's a great job by the fan base to get out anywhere where Lady Vols softball is.
Yeah, and tickets to the Mid-State Classic in Columbia, Tennessee, coming up a little later on in March, are on sale now. Do a little Google search of that in the city of Columbia's website. You can get tickets now. We've had 2,000 people there every year since they started the event in 2014.
Oh, wow. The comment that you made, too, about Tennessee basketball, Saturday's such a big game because if you drop that game, now you're staring down the barrel at Rupp Arena and home against an Auburn team. At that point, you are in danger of missing out on the NIT.
Yeah, 15-13 right now.
And if Tennessee were to lose out, which I think it still has a shot to beat Florida. I mean, the fact that it's playing at home helps. Florida's been inconsistent now. The last 2.5 weeks has been better. But yeah, it's still going to be very tough for Tennessee. No game is a gimme, and you've got to pull out one of these wins to avoid falling to 15-16 on the year.
Yeah, because I think getting to the NIT will help these guys in their development, and it gives Jordan Bowden a couple more games to play, too. And we've seen teams that have carried momentum of an NIT berth and gotten some new injection of players into the next year. You just don't want to miss out on everything. And I don't think that Tennessee would go to the CBI or there's another tournament beyond
the CTI
that.
Or yeah. The CIT, something like that.
Tennessee's not playing in those.
No, I think they were invited to the CBI in Donnie Tindall's year and they turned down the invitation.
I think they turned down that invitation so they could go ahead and
A team like Tennessee does not need to go to anything outside of the NIT.
Agreed.
And ideally would not have a reason to go to the NIT and would simply just go to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but I think the NIT is the floor for an SEC program. I don't know that the league would step in and say that because I think there have been SEC teams that have been in the CBI before, but those are tournament. Now, the NIT has a payout. It's a very small one if you advance to a certain level. The SEC won't let you turn down something that has a payout.
Right.
The CBI, you typically have to pay to participate in.
Yeah, that's the big thing is it costs the school money.
Yeah. They're not going to pay money to play in a third-rate tournament. But they will play
because
in the NIT.
Because fans aren't going to pay to watch a third-rate tournament.
No. The one thing that I loved about the NIT, the years that Tennessee went with Konzo Martin, and literally the only thing I loved about going to the NIT, was the games were general admission, and there were only like 4,000, 5,000 people there, but it was the loudest 4,000 we had at that time. Now, the crowds now are incredible. But then it was hit or miss in the post-Bruce Pearl era. But you get people with $5 or $10 tickets that can't normally go. It's a lot of fun. It's why the XFL games are fun.
I would imagine there's more access for the fans, too, at those games.
Yeah, you can sit. I mean, you pay $10 and sit wherever you want.
I would think that there's more of an opportunity to maybe get a photo with the players after the game, too. I'm not guaranteeing that, but I would think that, you know, for a lot of these kids, you know, they see a really tall basketball player wearing a Tennessee jersey and they just think celebrity, even when they have no idea.
Well, the reaction of Jordan Bowden when he went and had his number retired at Carter High School, when Luis Fernandez was on back in December talking about the reaction of those kids around him to, I want to be that guy one day. That's incredible.
I have my wife's two younger brothers, they went to a Tennessee volleyball game when Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield were in attendance earlier this year. They got a picture with Grant, and they weren't 100% certain who he was. One of them did, because he watches a lot of basketball, but not everybody in the family was aware. But it's just cool, because you know that it's a basketball player for Tennessee, and that's a big deal to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hour number three of the Eric Haines Show is coming up. We're going to lead it off with an Axe Throw Thursday. And we have a special guest for Florida, Alabama, or Georgia because it is an Axe Throw Thursday. Right now, though, caller number three at 656-WINS. Caller number three at 656-WINS will be qualified in our Coors Light Climb to the Championship. We're giving away all session passes for two people to the Men's Basketball Tournament Championship in Nashville, along with $500 spending cash. It's thanks to our friends at Cherokee Distributing. It is the Coors Light Climb to the Championship on 99.1 The Sports Animal.